Could we just look to the Lord in a brief word of prayer before we begin? Our Father and our God, as we open the words of Scripture this morning, we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would very much guide what is said, still each heart, and open each heart and mind to your will. We rejoice in who you are, Lord. And we would receive from you this morning according to your good pleasure. As King of heaven and earth, we thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject this morning, come to the banquet. Matthew chapter 22. Beginning at verse 1. And Jesus answered and spoke unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them who are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and treated them shamefully and slew them. But when the king heard of it, he was angry, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they who were bidden were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. In this parable, our Lord was plainly teaching that God had issued a call to the children of Israel to come in simple faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to feast upon him, to be wed to the one who was the object of the Father's love, and to enter into the joy of the kingdom. But Israel had rejected the call. They had rejected the invitation, and God in anger turned away and turned unto a new people composed largely of Gentiles, but of Jews as well, the church, the whosoever will, who might come and preach in response to the preaching of the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I'd like for you to consider for a while just what his hearers understood him to say as he actually used these words. What did they understand him to mean as he spoke this parable? First of all, he spoke of a certain king. What did it mean to be a king in Israel? In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us something of what it was like to be a king in Israel. For Solomon sat upon the throne in Israel, and Solomon issued a decree that all Israel should be taxed, and they were taxed. And so he gathered to himself vast quantities of gold and silver, such as had not been before or since in Jerusalem. Silver so common that it was referred to as like the stones in the street. He imported huge logs of cedar wood from Lebanon and mined marble, and with it he built the temple and a magnificent palace for himself. Over much of it he put gold, and he furnished them with items of exquisite worth and beauty. Solomon built gardens, and he imported exotic plants and animals to live there. He built fountains to water them. He gathered about him musicians and singers of songs, and the composers and players of music, and dancers. Whatever he desired was given him. Whatever his wish, it was done. Solomon, if he saw a woman whom his eyes desired, she became his bride, his wife, or his concubine. He had 1,000 of them. That's what it meant to be a king in Israel. Power was resident in the throne. Solomon could issue a decree that that man should die, and he would die. There was no appeal. That's what it meant to be king. And when the Lord spoke this parable, that's what his hearers understood him to mean. In the parable, the king was God. The Lord had freely referred to God as the king. He taught his disciples, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.' And again, 'For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.'" Words that are remarkably reminiscent of words that David used in his prayer of celebration and thanksgiving when the people had freely given for the building of the temple. It was understood that the king of whom the Lord spoke was God. The king prepared a wedding for his son. Of all the delights that the king could take, what could compare with this? The king had brought a child into the world. He had given birth to a baby boy, a little boy who had now grown to be a young man. And like Abraham years earlier had gone and sent his servant back to his own people to find just the right bride for his son Isaac. So the king would look through all the world, especially his own kingdom, but perhaps elsewhere as well, until he found just that one who was fit for his son. His son, the object of his love. All the things that the king had done during his entire reign, all the wars he had waged, all the cities he had built, all the laws that he put in place, all the things that he made and did, all of these would one day pass into the hands of his son. He would inherit the kingdom. It would be him who sat upon the throne. He would hold the scepter. He would wear the crown. The object of his love would have the power resident in him that would rule the kingdom. And so the king prepared a wedding for his son. And those who heard him understood that Christ himself was the son of whom he spoke. He referred to God as his father, openly. The son was the heir to the throne. And the son was Christ. And the king prepared a wedding for his son. A wedding. To search out that most perfect woman who would be the wife of his beloved son. And at that wedding, as they were joined in marriage, the families of the king and of this young woman would become one family. And as the people would see this young woman and know her and come to know her, they would get to know the kind of people who would one day become their rulers. And so the king prepared a wedding for his son. And at the wedding there was a feast, a banquet. Imagine that. The king would look throughout the kingdom and he would find the greatest banqueting hall. And he would send his servants to decorate that hall with the most beautiful decorations. And upon the tables would be put the choice implements of the kingdom, gold and silver and precious stones. Tray after tray of delicious, delectable foods would be brought forth. And as the guests would enter that huge banqueting hall, what a sight would greet their eyes. Music would be played, and perhaps dancers would dance before them. And they would be delighted in all their senses, the odors of the food and their tastes, and the sound of the delicate music, the sights. But not only their senses, because this was a wedding, was it not? And so their hearts would be touched as well. And not just a wedding, but it was the wedding of the king's son. And so as the people saw that wedding take place, what was going through their mind is, what kind of people will they be as they take the throne of the kingdom? What will our lives be like in consequence of the fact that they will be our king and our queen one day? And so they entered as a whole person into that wedding feast, into that time of celebration. And so the king prepared a wedding for his son. And there was a call that was given. And this call was given throughout the scriptures, and we read something of it from the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 and 2. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Israel was called to a wedding feast, to a feast. And Israel was called not only there, but throughout the Old Testament, and up until the time of John the Baptist, and even the preaching of Christ, she was called unto her Lord and her God. And in this parable, there were guests who were invited, and they were special guests. The king would go down a list, and he wouldn't simply invite everyone. He couldn't. And so he had a select group of people whom he asked to come. He would say, not these, but these. Not this one, but this one. Not him, but her. And who were the invited guests at this wedding? They were Israel. What a guest list! What a people had been invited to this wedding. This was the people who had been given Moses as their leader. This was the people whom God, by mighty power, had brought forth out of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. This was a people of whom God himself testified they would not lie. And so the oracles of God were entrusted to them, and they were given the law and the prophets. This was the people over whom one day the beloved psalmist David would reign as king, and the people who one day brought into the world the Messiah himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a people! What a guest list! We read something of just how restricted that guest list really was in Matthew 15, beginning at verse 21. Then Jesus went from there and departed into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same borders and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. She was not an Israelite. She was not on the guest list. The whole meaning of the invitation was simply this: Israel, my chosen people, come, delight yourself in Christ. Be pleased with him with whom I am well pleased. Receive those things which I have prepared for you. Enter into the joy of the kingdom. The end of verse 3, we read the result of that invitation. They would not come. Imagine the response of the king. The delight of his life was being married to the woman whom he had chosen of all the women upon earth to be the bride of his son. And he had held nothing back with which to please them and honor them as guests. And they said, "We won't have any of it." It was like a slap in the face to the king. Yet the king offered another invitation. We read in verses 4 through 6. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, "Tell them who are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and treated them shamefully and slew them. It is said that among Arabic peoples of the time, to reject a second invitation of this sort was tantamount to a declaration of war. Not only will we hurt you to the extent of saying no to that first invitation, but we are on opposite sides of everything that's important to you. It is nothing to us. And this they did to the king, and this Israel did to her Lord and God. This second invitation was given out by the church, beginning with Peter on the day of Pentecost. Israel had rejected their Lord. They had rejected the invitation. But as Peter preached that great sermon on the day of Pentecost, he invited those who had spurned the Lord, who had rejected the king, to come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls. And that invitation was given out by the church consistently for years. But Israel as a corporate body rejected even that invitation. They stoned Stephen. When Stephen was stoned, he said, "Behold, I see the heaven open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." I believe he was standing for two reasons, beloved. He was standing, first of all, to receive the first martyr of the church. And he was standing as well to receive Israel's final answer: "We will not come." They stoned Stephen. They murdered James, the one who is called the just, the brother of the Lord. They persecuted the church. Verse 7, when the king heard of it, he was angry. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. The second invitation was given out for 40 years. From the birth of the church until the king's armies brought Jerusalem to an end. In 73 AD, Titus, the Roman general, successfully besieged Jerusalem. During the seven-year period before the fall of Jerusalem, it is estimated that 1.3 million children of Israel died in that siege. All those who were over 17 were killed, either at the time of the siege or they were sent throughout the kingdom, throughout the empire, and killed in games of sport in the celebrations of victory that followed. Those who were younger than 17 were sent into exile as slaves. Jerusalem was put to the torch. The temple was destroyed. The king was angry. The general Titus declared upon viewing the towers that had defended the inner city that they were in fact impregnable. that had God not been their aid, they could not have brought Jerusalem to her knees. And so God was the king, and he had issued a call that had been rejected. And yet in his great mercy and grace, he extended that call for 40 years to the children of Israel. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the wedding feast. Come to the banquet. And again, they rejected the call. And when God's anger was filled, he put their city to the torch and brought Jerusalem to an end. Verses 8 through 10. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they who were bidden were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. What has changed? The king is the same, the son the same, the wedding, the banquet, the call, all were the same. Now there was a different guest list. Now it was, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come. Are you a young person? Maybe 8 or 9 years old? Young person, you come because the invitation goes to you. Are you an old person? 80 or 90 years of age, white-haired and stooped? Good. You come because the invitation is to you. Are you white or black, Asian, Hispanic? Good. You come. There is room for you at the wedding feast. Have you led an upright life before men? Good. Come to the wedding. Come to the banquet. Have you been a sinner? Have you been enslaved to sin? Come to the banquet. The invitation is for you. It's for you. When I was a boy, there was a period of time, where my father used to bring home sticks of hard candy for us. My older brother, my younger brother, and myself. And after we had decided on which color we wanted, he'd hand them out. And on this one occasion, he brought home 3 sticks of candy and offered them to us, and my older brother took first pick, and I took second. And there was a yellow one there. And every kid knows what a yellow one is. It's a lemon. Nobody wants a lemon. My dad said, no, it's not lemon. It's a different flavor. You'll like it. But my older brother and I, we were too old. We knew better. And so we didn't take it. My younger brother, he was just a little guy. And he didn't know any better, and so he took it and put it in his mouth, and his eyes lit up. It was butterscotch, sweetest flavor a kid could want to taste, and it was all his. The scriptures say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And again the scriptures say, unless you repent and become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. God made you. He knows what will satisfy the longings of your heart and give you fullest joy. Come to the Lord. There is an invitation that is standing and waiting for you. Come to the wedding feast. Come to the banquet. How to come? Come simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come in simple faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, you have been invited to a banquet, to a wedding feast. I'd like to give you a second invitation. And I'm going to come down and hand one to each of you. Something you can take with you. I have missed anyone. Forgive me, the Lord has not missed you. Come to the banquet. Come in simple faith, trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look to him in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the matchless grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, though crucified by the hands of men, loved them and invited them to come. Thank you for this matchless one. Thank you, Lord, that you have invited us to come to a wedding feast and to be present as the halls of heaven ring with joy at that most marvelous occasion. Father, in the silence of each one's heart, we pray that that question might be settled today. We commit it into your hands now. In Jesus' name, amen.